John Busby with a Culture Buzz, and I just love having the world at my fingertips. I get to meet some wonderful people, and we're kind of meeting for the first time here, mainly because I didn't want to pony up for a jet ride over to England, and Roman, God bless him, he said he would, but then he had a schedule conflict. No, I'm kidding. Roman Kuznarek is my guest, and I jest a little bit, but the book that he wrote is something that I really think is a book that you are going to want to latch on to connect with. I think it's more relevant now than when I first booked this interview a few weeks ago. Rowan's book, his latest book, is called Empathy, Why It Matters and How to Get It. It's a subject matter that is topical no matter what is happening in the world, in your country, in your state, in your community, in your family. And Roman is one of the foremost experts in this arena in the world. I love what John Gray, author of Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, said about your book, Roman. Authentic relationships require us to see the world through the eyes of others. This engaging and insightful book helps us do just that. And I think that's a great springboard point. Your work has to do a lot with this, but something happened where you decided you needed to distill everything into this one book, Empathy, Why It Matters and How to Get It. Tell us about that process, please.
Yeah, this book's taken about 10 years to write, amazingly enough. And it's come out of my own experiences in many ways, my personal experiences. I mean, if I think back to my childhood, for example, when I was about 10 years old and my mother died of breast cancer when I was a kid growing up in Sydney, Australia. And one of the things that happened then is I kind of lost my empathy. I lost that ability really to feel other people's feelings. I didn't cry much. I didn't laugh much. And I've realized over the years I've been trying to recover that empathic self I lost as a child in some ways. And, of course, empathy is all about that ability to step into the shoes of others and look at the world through their eyes. And we've all got it built into us, but we can all develop it as well, and we can learn how to do it, like riding a bike or driving a car.
But it, you know, what you just described is kind of an almost worst case scenario for a child, because having grown up in a maternal three generation Iowa farmstead, I know that the maternal bond is a powerful one. And so you had some things you had to resolve. How did that come about? I mean, yes, you're an overnight succession sensation with Empathy, Why It Matters and How to Get It, 10 years in the making, but a lifetime in the making, really.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think if I look through my own life, there have been moments of empathic opening or awareness. So, you know, I live in the city of Oxford in England, and it's a university town, and there was this in the around the corner from where I live, there's a street, a lot of homeless people, and there was this homeless guy I used to walk past for years, and I never took much notice of him. He was always walking around in bare feet in the snow and muttering to himself in a slightly crazy way, picking up cigarette butts, and I never thought we'd have anything in common. And one day I stopped and spoke to him, and I discovered that he had a philosophy degree from Oxford University, to my great surprise, and we developed a friendship based on our interest in moral philosophy and pepperoni pizza. And that experience was very important in my own empathy journey, because I recognize, like I think we all do, we all have assumptions and prejudices about people. We all judge them based on, you know, what they look like, what they sound like, and I was doing it as much as anybody else. And I think part of the empathic journey is to develop our curiosity about strangers. You know, the people we're walking past every day, but whose minds we don't necessarily try and step into. But I think it's so important. I mean, if you read a book like To Kill a Mockingbird, well, what's the central line of that book? It's you never really understand another person until you step inside of his skin and walk around in it for a while.
Exactly. I have a very eclectic radio show here, and part of what I like to do, or feel that I try to do, is to connect people to books like yours, where it encourages people to be more open-minded, to really engage with the world more, but in a much more open-minded, authentic way. And this is what I think your book does. If someone were to run into you and just say, oh, interesting, I should run into you here. I just heard your show, your interview on the Culture Buzz. I haven't had a chance to pick up your book and read it. What can I expect for myself?
I think what I would say to them, I'd say to them, look, we all know that in everyday relationships, empathy matters. You can be arguing with your husband or your wife or your partner, and you sometimes just think to yourself, oh, God, I wish they could just see things from my point of view. I wish they could understand where I'm coming from. But what are you asking for? Empathy, of course. We want them to step into our shoes, if only for a moment. And my book really is about how to do that and how to make it transform your own everyday relationships. But also, I think empathy has a power to change society more broadly. And I think, in a way, the first thing we can do in that everyday situation where you're in that tense situation, you're arguing with your partner or with a work colleague, is in a way to do two things: to listen out for the other person's feelings and to listen out for the other person's needs, and even give them a chance to express their feelings and needs. And giving them that opportunity, it's amazing how it can reduce tension. There's a great statistic, which is that in disputes between employers and employees, if both sides agree to literally repeat what the other side said before they start speaking themselves, you reach conflict resolution 50% faster. Right. So it's all about, you know, we all just want to feel that we're listened to, right?
Exactly.
And so that this book really is about the art of listening in all its forms.
There's a simple, very folksy thing my grandfather said when I was growing up on the farm. He said, boy, stop. God gave you two ears and one mouth. You figure it out.
Right.
It's something I try to do. I fail often, but I keep trying to do that, where I do try to listen to people, and the empathetic approach is a very positive way to approach the world. Roman Krznarek is my guest. A fascinating book, a book that I really believe you need to get, because it's one of those resource books where you can pick it up and you can read right through it, you can set it down, and then you're going to find times in your life where you come back and you just pop into the book. You're going to reinterpret any given page. You can mark one page as your favorite page, and you can look at it each week for the next 5 weeks. You're going to get something different every time you visit it. I love it. I want to help you connect with this author. Of course, go to your local independent bookseller, ask for Roman Krznarek's Empathy, Why It Matters and How to Get It. It's available through Amazon. I encourage you, though, to go to Roman's website, because he's got a bunch of fun stuff here. The man is just like, we are barely looking at the tip of the iceberg in our conversation today, folks. Go to Roman, R-O-M-A-N, Krznarek, KRZNARIC.com. I'll give that another time or two before we're done with the conversation. But you are the kind of professional I really enjoy talking to, because you have distilled so much of your life, so much of your education, so much of your experience into a very consumable book. And it's something that I believe it or not, I have experienced and seen scholars that have just such a wealth of information, but it's like they're constantly consuming and gathering, and they never throw some back to the world. Empathy, Why It Matters and How to Get It, is exactly that. You are finding a way to pay it forward.
Yeah, I mean, thanks so much for those thoughts. I mean, of course, I used to be an academic, a scholar myself. I used to teach politics, political science, and sociology. It's taken me about 10 years to learn how not to write like an academic. and giving a lot of talks and to different kinds of audiences. You know, last week I was in a prison talking about the role of empathy and with the prisoners themselves.
Wow.
And it was extraordinary to hear them talk about their own, you know, the sense of violence, for example, that there is in the prisons where they are, and how they feel they can't kind of take off their masks and really make themselves vulnerable, talk about who they are in the prison, because you need to protect themselves. So, but equally, I've done empathy workshops with judges, you know, and judges like to think that they don't need empathy. They like to think they're rational. They're just about interpreting the law. But we know that there are many studies showing that a judge's social background shapes how they see things. So, you know, a judge that has a daughter, famously, there's a study in New York, federal judges with a daughter are more likely to give pro-women or pro-feminist rulings than those which aren't. You know, and so it's all about, you know, whose shoes are we stepping into? How much effort do we make? Do we step into the shoes of migrants coming from Syria? Do we step into the shoes of the homeless person we walk past every day?
Well, one thought that just popped in my head is that sometimes when people hear like the subject matter of your book and then listen to your explanation, everything, and like when you went into the prison, I can just hear someone out there saying, "Well, by God, I want that prisoner there who's in there for rape. I want them to put himself into the shoes of his victim." I have a challenge with that in that that is such a swing from one end of the spectrum to the other, and I believe that change is best made when done incrementally, and understanding the journey is part of that process. Am I off base on that?
No, I think you're right, and to get the rapist or other prisoner to step into the shoes of their victim is a really tough thing. I mean, there's this growing field of what's called restorative justice, where exactly that happens. The victim sits down with the perpetrator of the crime, and they try and see each other's points of view. It's a great struggle, though. I mean, one of the most interesting examples I've seen of this has to do with the Northern Ireland peace process, where I've met in the same room one man who is an Irish Republican Army, IRA terrorist, who planted a bomb to try and kill the British Prime Minister. He ended up killing a Conservative Member of Parliament. And I met him, this man, Pat McGee, together with a woman called Jo Berry, whose father was killed by this bomb. And they've met over 100 times since he was released from prison. But it's been a very slow process of him trying to see her perspective, and equally for her trying to understand why did he plant the bomb, which ended up killing half a dozen people. These are really complex things, and I think this kind of change does not happen overnight.
No, it's definitely a journey, and if you could flip a switch on some of the ills of the world, maybe it would make it easier. But, I think I'd get cultural whiplash that could just put me in the hospital if I'm not careful.
Well, the important thing, I think, is really to start developing empathy when you're young. And I'm a great supporter of the world's great empathy teaching programs. And there was one that began in Canada some years ago. Now over 750,000 people have done it, young kids. And it's called Roots of Empathy. And it's done in the US now, in Britain, Germany, other countries. And it's amazing how it works. What they do is a class of elementary school kids adopts a baby for the year. A real-life baby comes in every few weeks with a parent, I admit, and the kids sit around the baby. They start talking about the baby. Why is she crying? Why is she laughing? What's she thinking or feeling? They're trying to step into the baby's shoes. And they use that as a jumping-off point for talking about, well, what's it like to be a kid bullied in the playground or someone in a wheelchair? They're learning the art of empathy, and this program is brilliant. It increases empathy levels and cooperation, reduces bullying, and even increases general academic attainment in literacy and math. So I think we can all learn to expand our empathic imaginations a bit, especially if we start young.
I didn't wander through your website enough. Is there some kind of a link in your website to that?
Yeah, absolutely. If you just look up, go to my website and search for Roots of Empathy, you'll find it. And you'll find an account of my visit to a Toronto school so long ago to see it in action.
That's wonderful. My guest is Roman Krznarek, and he is a scholar and author, but more importantly, he is a great communicator, and he has captured some wonderful information in a book called Empathy, Why It Matters and How to Get It. It's a book I heartily recommend. I know you people out there who listen to this show. You are cultural adventurers, but you also very open-minded, and you love to find ways to make your world better. This book is one way to do that. It's also great stuff for paying it forward and to kind of mentor other people. Go to his website, romankrznarek.com, romankrznarik.com. That's Roman Krznarek, romankrznarik.com. And you will be introduced, if you don't know about this wonderful author already, to an incredible world of research and everything that he's distilled. This is not his first book either. You've written some other books, really kind of set the stage for your work in general, right?
Yeah, I wrote a book called How Should We Live? Great Ideas from the Past for Everyday Life. And that's a book about what history can teach us about how to live. Because normally when we think about the art of living and self-help books and so on, we think of psychology and philosophy and so on. But actually, if you look at how people lived in the past, it's fantastically insightful for how we might live today. And there's, some great empathy figures from the past. The great British writer George Orwell in the 1920s dressed up as a tramp to find out what it was like, to live down and out on the streets of East London, and he wrote a famous book about it. And those kind of examples I find incredibly inspiring to draw on history, but equally, I love writing about the neuroscience of empathy, which is what's in my new book, about how our brains are wired for it. If you get part of your brain damaged in a car accident, you might lose your ability to recognize fear or other emotions on someone else's face. So I think it's really important that, you look at empathy from all of the different angles that are out there.
Well, you do it brilliantly, and it's a fascinating read. If you think you're going to be delving into some dry tome, forget it, folks. Roman Krasnarek knows how to write. He knows how to connect with readers, and empathy, why it matters and how to get it, is spot on and wonderful. One thing that popped in my head when you mentioned George Orwell and some of the others is literature is just filled with these kind of role-playing, empathetic conjurers.
Absolutely. I think reading novels and some, biographies can be ways of expanding our empathic imagination. As I mentioned, To Kill a Mockingbird earlier, but there are many other examples you might think of that, take us into the life of what it's like to be a kid growing up in a slum in Rio de Janeiro or growing up on a farm in Iowa. What is this like? Because most of us don't have much idea. And so those empathic journeys are really important. And that's why I've recently launched a website called www.empathylibrary.com. And you can go there and find reviews of books and films all about stepping into other people's shoes. There are top 10 lists and all those reviews there. And you can look up kids' books for the under fives on developing empathy. And it's a really useful resource for parents, for educators, librarians, and things like that.
Oh, my goodness. Well, there is no doubt about it. I could keep talking with you for the next, not just hour or two, but multiple hours. You are fascinating. But what you write about, what you share is more than just fascinating. It's some of the gold of living. And I love being able to share that with you folks out there. One way you can keep this good feeling going is get a copy of Empathy, Why It Matters and How to Get It. You can get it through Amazon. Check with your local independent bookseller. Definitely go to Roman Krasnarek's website, www.romankrznarik.com, and you will have opened a portal into a fantastical world of information. And gosh, one of these days I'm going to have to travel over there so I can shake your hand in person and just enjoy what you have to share.
Well, you are welcome anytime. I'll take you out for a coffee around the corner, my local cafe, and we will while away the afternoon expanding our curiosity for strangers.
And in the meantime, I will extend an invitation. If you want to continue this dialogue into the future, maybe we can talk about how this book has just been sweeping around the world. We will do that. If you write another book, I would love to interview you and share that with my listeners.
Well, thank you, John. Thanks for having me on the program.
My pleasure. Much continued success to you, Roman.
Thank you.